once more welcome all the members and the delegation from the department, media people, our support staff to this very important information sharing session. We also are not going to waste a lot of time. We'll have the department presenting some work on detective services. But maybe before they do that, I just want to remind all of us that amongst the things which the president said during the State of the Nation address, he said among the immediate targets is to ensure that we increase the number of police detectives. He said we change the name of the relevant ministry from safety and security to police to emphasize that we want real operational energy in police work. And this will contribute to the reduction of serious and violent crime by the set target of 7% to 10% per annum. Maybe one last thing I want to quote, which the president said. He said, we have repeatedly stated our commitment to fight corruption in the public service. We also have to acknowledge the presence of the head of the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation, which I think I did not do yesterday, and indeed it was a serious omission on my side and on my part, and I must express my apology to him. And we can see that he's with us here. I think we'll probably share one or two things before we close this session. We are taking our work seriously, and I can see that the department is also taking its work seriously. But maybe we want to see that being implemented on the ground. And we want to see the reduction of crime, and that's what all South Africans are looking forward to. I will not waste a lot of time. I think yesterday we were on all TV channels because I want to believe that all South Africans want to know as to what we are doing as this department, but also as members of portfolio who are to ensure that the department is implementing its program effectively, efficiently, and robustly. And I think that is what we are promising the people of South Africa, and I think we are committed to that. It's not just a promise, but it's a commitment. And I think it is in that spirit that the president said to be a citizen is not only about rights, it is also about responsibilities, because alone we cannot fight poverty, but we need all South Africans to be part of us so that we win this war. I will call upon the department to present a program, which is Program 3, Detective Services. And after that, we'll take questions, clarity-seeking questions from the members, because we have the delegation from the department still here. We can ask questions on the work that we covered yesterday, if maybe there is something which we need clarity on and we could not ask yesterday. But particularly on a crime intelligence, but of course we'll keep in mind that we cannot ask operational questions on that aspect. It will just be broad questions on that program because of its reach. Let me therefore give the opportunity to the department, to the National Commissioner, to lead us in presenting the detective services, and of course he will assign that responsibility to whoever is responsible for that program.
Well, thanks. looks like I am really technically challenged when it comes to these things. Thanks, Madam Chair. We will be giving the program. But as you say, that yesterday, your committee was all over the show when it comes to TV screens. I was called and asked if I had any answer for any question that was asked yesterday. I said I couldn't answer a single one, but the team did. Thanks for that. Chairperson, again, what you said about the State of the Nation address is what we opened with yesterday as a part of the structure and those points that inform our approach as intervention beyond the annual plans and beyond the strategic plans. Indeed, we'll have to speak to that. I was thinking this morning what kind of a job to be a police officer. Again, this morning I was woken up by the same girl that woke me up yesterday. That she has been approached by her two colleagues from the same school that has been raped by, or allegedly by, the same teacher. I tried to get the MC again to see how far it was gone, but today she has broken down and was crying badly. And the teacher is boasting about it at school. I tried to find the pin, I couldn't, but I'll be talking to the commissioner in the province to take the matter up. I think it goes far beyond the MC of education, far beyond the premier. I think as the police we must be decisive on the matter, because it looks like at that school that teacher is really, really a bully. Those are the things that I was thinking, that to be a police, it means literally across the board. It is then important, Chairperson, that we go beyond the call of the duty. The number that the President speaks about, Chairperson, is prescribed, that it should be 200,000 black police in 2011. That number is prescribed. But what is not prescribed there, equally important, is a qualitative change of the organization. Quality change, fine, but qualitative change of organization is important. We have been talking about the retraining. We'll be embarking on that very serious to improve both the quality and quantity and quality of the organization. Maybe there are no specifics on those things at the present moment, but as a management, we agree that we need to take many officers as we can, not only the detective section, but generally the members of the organization, to pump up their standards of doing things as a part of the new image, as a part of the morale that we must work on, and that is as a part of the level of proper accessibility. One thing that we're talking about wanting to do is the anchoring of the organization. I said it yesterday, in the communities. This organization must be anchored, must be part of the communities they serve. Somebody was asking what would be wrong if we want to recruit a member of the South African police after we've applied, after I've been shortlisted, and then they go to your community and ask your community, do you know this person? And the community, either through the church, either through the community organization, they said, no, 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 you can't touch that one. Or they say, we'll get a good police officer from that one. So that when somebody gives us a problem, next time we go back to the community, that we got this one from you. Don't complain much. But when it's going good, you go back to the community and say, your police is doing very well. somebody was just talking, but they're looking at it. How nice it would be if all police officers working there, the community saying, we were there when that one was appointed. We said yes. So those are the things. And they become then the part of the, and the community has a claim on them that this is part of us. So those are the things that we're looking at, and that will be really working on them. Besides the skills, but improving the human relations, the community relations, and all that kind of thing. Having said that, we will move on. I do want to make the request, but I think it would be private request from the chair. It could be public. We did look at the program today. We thought that you wouldn't need us a big portion of the day when you look at the program. But I did say yesterday that most of the management you saw there, the day before we went to Gauteng, where we met the management, and we met the station commissioners. Looking at the program yesterday, we made that arrangement to meet the management of the Western Cape and meet the all station commissioners of the Western Cape, just to say, hello, how are you? These are things we'll be doing. Maybe if we finish earlier, that's what we would like to do as we live here, just to go and meet those structures in this province. But otherwise, I think Divisional Commissioner Lala will take us through on this one. Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Members of Parliament.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Members of Parliament, and the National Commissioner, and the senior members of the police services. I must explain that Program 3 of the Detective Services comprises of various different aspects. It comprises of crime investigations, the Criminal Record Center, and Forensic Science Laboratory. On the aspects of the Criminal Record Center and Forensic Science Laboratory, my colleague, Divisional Commissioner Detroit, will talk about those aspects. But I will deal with the program of detective services for the past 5 years and the challenges that are emerging for the coming year as well as for the plan for the next 5 years. The aspects that we have been asked to cover is basically the mandate, the five-year review, the government and departmental policy alignment, and the strategic plan for the department. The mandate of the Detective Services is to conduct investigations and facilitate the activities of the Detective Services for the purpose of prosecution and conviction of criminals. In regards to the objective measures for the period 2009-2010, some of the targets that we have recommended arise from the following: the increasing of the detection rate of contact crimes from 53 to 54% for property-related crimes, from 15 to 60% for crimes dependent on police for detection, for police for detection from 94 to 95% in 2009 and 2010, maintaining and improving the detection rate of sexual offences from 40 to 42%, increasing the conviction rate of contact crimes from 19 to 20% for property-related, and for property-related crimes from 13 to 14%, and for crime dependent on police detection from 17 to 18% in 2009-2010. Maintaining organised crime-related charges to court at 25%, but as the presentation go on, we will find that these challenges will be handled to the DPCI. Program 3 of the Detective Services, the current challenges that we have been having is that there has been a review by the criminal, by all the participants in the criminal justice system, and these reviews have brought some very challenging issues that we have to address. Also, the structures will be subject to a work study as a result of the formation of the DPCI in order to avoid any duplication and petty rivalries that will happen, that can happen in some of these challenging situations. At the current moment, within the police management, there's two options for detective services that are being reviewed. There might be possible structural changes made to the detective service structures at national level. What we want to achieve with the new structures that will impact on performance, monitoring, and inspection capacity of the detective services, mainly at local precinct levels. It will have a greater impact on the fight against crime against women and children, and it will possibly create some degree of specialization at local level and at provincial level. Program 3 of the Detective Services, the 5-year review. I must explain one issue over here in regards to baselines, in regards to how the determining of the percentages have occurred over the period of time. In the last few years, Treasury had introduced certain measures of trying to assess the performance of investigation of investigators and cases to court. The method that they used was to look at over the past few years and find a baseline and use that baseline as a process to target improvements on that baseline. So, in short, the actual situation is that a baseline was created of a practice of the past few years where there was relevant data available, and the capacity of the courts to be able to take cases and finalize it in the court processes so that you don't have this remand process continuously going on. I think we have quite a lot of large awaiting trial prisons taking place, so we still have a backlog. So, in short, he said the baseline figures are created on historical patterns of how many cases have been taken to court, and these baseline figures have now been projected as you can't go lower than that. You have to create situations to go higher than that. One of the limitations that we have with that is that, which is a general limitation, is the capacity of investigation at local level plus the issue of the courts being able to manage so many cases that we have taken to court, because we have a lot of awaiting trial prisons, we have a lot of doubles to go to court, and the remand cases are going in. I had to just create a little bit of introduction so that perhaps we are on the same page of understanding the subject matter. In the 5-year review, this is basically in regards to all 20 serious crimes combined. For the period 2004-2005, these are the statistics that were available, and in some cases where the statistics are not available, it meant that at that particular time, there was no system in place to deal with it. So you can see a gradual change in the situation of it being able to capture data and take it to court. I won't go into the details of each figure. I'm sure the members of Parliament have it, but as questions come along, we'll be able to answer that. In regard to organized crime, which in the period pre-July 2009 that fell under the program of detective services, these were the arrests from 2004-2005, 2006-2007, and 2007-2008. We had various different interim operations that took place that gave us the reflective figures of the number of cases. But as you can see, for the period 2008-2009, 42,461 suspects were arrested, 59,775 cases, in regards to 59,775 cases. Just to add again, once again, is that this reflects that the channel of crime is so massive and huge. The finalization process is appearing like a tunnel to finalize these cases, and we got to somehow or the other open that tunnel so that the capacity to deal with all these cases is there in place, and that we can speed up the process of remands and long cases of performance and what have you. The previous committee, and some members of the previous committee are also here. In the period under review, one of the issues that we are having problems, one of the serious issues that we are having problems with regard to cases where commercial crime, a degree of fraud and various different aspects. I think in order to fast track and finalize the process, we are able to set up the commercial crime court, which is now acting independently and able to manage on its own. So part of the aspects that we had, which was part of the backlog of all these series of cases, because we want to take violent crime cases to court. So in order to spread the wings, we were able to decentralize some degrees of aspects in the commercial crime courts, which are now being fast-tracked and which are now being successful. One of the other issues that we had in regard to cases that are being remanded and delayed, this is simply because the previous committee did point out to us that there was no interaction or there was limited interaction between the prosecuting authority and the South African Police Services in finalizing these cases. So the whole of last year, I'm sure we can see a change of degree of cooperation that is actually helping us to fast track and to get criminals behind bars and to interact with these people in this way. So we have placed, together with the Department of Justice, we have reached agreements to place detectives as court officials so that there is no process of cases just slipping through the, and one department blaming the other and what have you. We have one central person. We also have had interactions with the correctional services, and we have had realignments in such a way that we don't have a case where correctional services members seem to be on a limbo and bring prisoners to court, and courts are not being, the cases are not being heard and they return back. So we have had a series of interactions to be able to limit any gaps in the system. But sometimes these flaws do okay. We have created interactions in the last year between the provincial detective services and the prosecution services, especially in relation to organized crime. We have a working methodology, we have greater cooperation, and we do bring in the prosecutors at a very early age. So what has happened over here is that we'll only see the fruits of these things in time to come. But the spirit of saying to the prosecution that we've got to work together at localized level, at ministerial level, has been consolidated in that way. In regard to one of the other questions that were posed to us was how is the police services, or specifically in our regards, the detective services, how are they aligning themselves with government intentions and department policy alignment? We are continuously involved in a series of engagement with multiple stakeholders, because we find sometimes that if we can't win on one issue, we can use another state department to assist us to put criminals behind bars. So there is a multiple of interactions with the prosecuting authority, with the revenue services, with the home affairs, correctional services, Department of Transport, with the intelligence services, the defense force, civil authorities, and metro policies, together with private sector like SABIC and Business Against Crime as well. In the previous financial year, we did acknowledge there were serious limitations, and we asked for an increase in the capacity of the detective services. Fortunately, the President was able to understand that the cutting edge of service delivery, and to reassure the public that you have to have some feedback, some response, some degree of feeling safe. This can only be done if people feel the cases are finalized in court. So we must also acknowledge that the portfolio committee and various other stakeholders have helped us to arrive to this decision of increasing the detective capacity. This was also found out in the criminal justice review as well. There will always be debate on the numbers and maybe whether it's enough or not enough, but it's a good starting point. this current financial year, senior management addressed the shortage of detectives. What happened is that in the past few years, due to promotions, due to other issues, a lot of detectives moved into other departments of the police services. And in order to address the backlog, and also they created a gap in the system that allowed for cases not to be finalized. Because you have an experienced investigator, he moves out for promotion purposes into another department or another leg in the police services. The dockets remain hanging. The investigators who have to subsequently take over those dockets have to regain the experience of the others, and therefore some of these cases are protracted. So as a result of that, 4,168 posts up to 7 level will have to be fulfilled by 31st October by utilizing the existing human resource capacity at entry-level constables with the completion of basic training, that is from the colleges. Further, 1,041 posts from level 8 and above to be fulfilled by the March 2010 to promotion appointment drive within the next financial year, this financial year. And the provinces are to report quarterly on that matter. Program 3 of the Detective Services, Strategic Plans and Goals. The challenge that's facing us over here is that we have a new National Commissioner. We have the restructuring of the DPCI, and we have the Criminal Justice Review. So we are saying that within the next few months, we will ratify and implement the new structure based on the concept that we have to have desired outcomes as immediately as possible. We've got to capacitate and train and develop the detectives. This program, together with training division, has already kicked off in place. We are expecting approximately 13,000 new detectives to be trained in this year. We also have another challenge, and this is a very large challenge that has been weighing on for the past few years. The challenge of being able to prevent corruption or perceptions of corruption in regards to missing dockets, in regards to managing dockets. While we have the CAS system in place, we think that the challenge that's facing us is that we have to have a process of having an e-docket system at all police stations so that we'll be able to actually monitor and find out where dockets and what the delays are. At the moment, it's done very manually in the sense that we have to rely on one investigating officer or the other. So one of the things that the biggest challenge facing us at the moment is to try and put these dockets onto systems that at any given stage we are able to check what is the problem, why isn't that case being finalized. The other aspects and the other goals is that we will continuously monitor and evaluate docket progress and outcomes. We also, in the restructuring process, want to capacitate the Family Violence, Child Protection and Sexual Offences Unit. We, as the President has pointed out, as the National Commissioner has pointed out, these are the fundamental issues of making our community feel safe, our people feel safe. So those are some of the pressing issues that we have to develop. In regards to improved communication and feedback to victims, we will be discussing at Boss Barado strategic planning session, that how to actually deal with the issues of better communication to our complainants, to our victims, and there are some ideas and some issues that we have had in hand which we will discuss at our strategic planning meeting. We also want to improve the detection rate. We also want to develop fast-track guidelines and manuals that will be able to actually, when you peruse the documents, you are able to see that certain standard basic processes are in place. In the short and interim medium, while we have to do some restructuring and reorganizing, we have to continue to be able to fast-track some of the cases that we have and to be able to deal with it. At the current moment, we are compiling a national wanted list of suspects for distribution to the provinces. And these suspects who are wanted for multiple crimes or singular crimes, we want to fast-track their processes so they appear for the courts. In regard to, we are also interacting with our ballistics and DNA to be able to have centralized systems in place whereby the accumulative process of the DNA, of the morpho touch, and various other technical means are brought in process to fast track cases for detection. Over the past few years, there was a process that which identified poor performing stations. We have 1,190 stations naturally, which 169 are contact crime, which includes 14 of the previous or the 10 designated presidential stations. We are able to benchmark some of the stations. We have the list of stations that have had that very poor performing at detective level, and we are taking some interactive measures to be able to concentrate on those stations to try and improve the detection rate. Some corrective measures are put there. At these 216 detective service units at station levels, they will be focused on to improve their performance. And the following will be done. Inspections will be conducted to establish the causes of poor performance. Performance charts will be managed. Identification shortcomings addressed through remedial steps. Monitor quarterly audits and inspections. A further focus will be on the FCS, whereby inspections will be conducted to establish compliance and quality of these investigations. I thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much for your presentation. We will be taking questions from members. I can see they are eager to ask questions. I think I see a few of them. Let me take Chairperson,
there are sub-presentations
of
the same, on the same program three.
Oh, okay. Now let's hear now.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As was said, the criminal record and forensic science service is part of program three. Some kind of a background and introduction. The division was established in 2005 and it began to operate in January 2006. A proper analysis was done at that stage, specifically with regard to the forensic science laboratory, and the decision was taken to concentrate on the basics and see how we can address the many, many challenges and issues that were identified at that stage. Some short to medium-term issues were planned, and it is addressed as part of the challenges which will be discussed a little bit later. The Criminal Record Center, one of the two main components there, is responsible for two main functions. The one is the issuing of previous conviction reports that the person that is arrested, and we have to issue a report for court cases of his previous convictions. And the second function is the attending of crime scenes, specifically with the purpose of gathering forensic evidence and to find fingerprints on specific crime scenes. The Criminal Record Center has a target of 85% of previous conviction reports of offenders to be generated in 30 days. When a person is arrested, Madam Chair, the fingerprint of that person is taken on an SAT 76 fingerprint form. That fingerprint is then set onto the AIPA system, which is the automated fingerprint identification system, to identify the person. And then an SAP 69, the report of the previous convictions, is produced for court purposes. The Criminal Record Center last year handled in excess of 1.1 million SAP 76 fingerprints for criminal purposes and in excess of 935,000 non-criminal fingerprints. So in total, the number of fingerprints handled were more than 2 million for the previous year, which was quite an increase from previous years. And as is reflected there, to get to those targets in 30 days, it is indicated there from 83%, 86%, and then last year it came down to 75%, Madam Chair. The CRC attended in 2008 and 9 also to 345 crime scenes to gather exhibits and try to find and identify the culprits from the crime scenes. And from the crime scenes, a number of 19,000 identifications were made with regard to that. When we look at the target there, the 75% when it came down over the last year or two, The main problems we experience or challenges is we have network problems, and as you have heard yesterday, the networks are going to be addressed very seriously with millions of rands over the next few years there. It cannot handle the volumes due to the increase in some of the areas we work in, specifically with the sending of the fingerprints. The AFIS capacity is also in the process of updating and upgrading so that we can adhere to all the capacity problems in that regard. On the AFIS system at this point in time, just some statistics, Madam Chair, the database consists of 6.3 million persons on the AFIS database there, and we are adding daily to that database. It is a growing database, and we have 182,000 latent fingerprints for matching purposes of previous crunching, so that we can try to match them on the systems at this point in time there. From the forensic science laboratory side, Madam Chair, we have the indicator there of 92% of the exhibits received to be with the analyst to finalize it within 35 days. As you can see in that regard, we have adhered mostly to the target with the analyst there. Getting to the challenges we have faced and what was identified there. Personnel, a big issue, and we face some real challenges with regards to personnel and trained personnel in this regard. With the assistance of my colleagues, personnel services, career management, and all those people involved, it was possible for us to increase the personnel from the Forensic Science Laboratory from 2006 to 2009, from 876 to 1,132. And those personnel are used at all four laboratories. We have the main laboratory in Pretoria, and then we have three decentralized laboratories, one in Cape Town, one in Eastern Cape, one in KwaZulu-Natal. And then also as part of the laboratory, we have 40 explosive units across the country, units handling explosive issues. With regard to the Criminal Record Center, we have increased the personnel from 3,076 to 3,530. And only 403 of those 3,500 people are situated in the main building in Pretoria with their previous convictions. And the rest of them is in the provinces, where they are situated throughout with 91 local criminal record centre. With regard to the personnel, of course, it's still inadequate, but due to the criminal justice review process and the support, the resource allocation guide was increased this year, and we have recruited quite a number of people to fill all the vacancies. For this year alone, since last year, we have increased our capacity with 1,293 people in total for the division there. With regard to the retention of personnel, yesterday we have discussed scarce skills. What was also approved from career management was a higher entry level for new forensic analysts to be appointed, which also assisted us to keep some of these people. And then from our division career management, there's ongoing investigation into the career path of these people. In the forensic environment, you sit with real, real problems because you need engineers, you need certain facial identification people, very highly specialized people, and there's not 1,000 and 5,000 people you need to create a career for. So it's quite a challenge to create careers for all these people there. With regard to the skills development, budget we have received, it was increased from 2006-2009. Due to the increase in personnel from the operational budget, we allocated 2.4 million as well to assist with the backlogs with regard to training. And in the environment where you find all the technology changes, and it happens quite fast these days, new technologies in the forensic environment, new equipment, that the retraining becomes quite a problem of all the people you have there. An NQF level 5 qualification was developed to ensure that all the personnel are on the same level when they start at the forensic science laboratory. Quality and accreditation. When we started in 2006, we reached the conclusion to say you cannot run a forensic science laboratory unless it adheres to all international requirements If you talk about scientists, anyone must be accredited. We must adhere to certain standards. And we can say today, Madam Chair, that we are adhering to all international methods and standards with regards to any forensic science laboratory. We can accredit our personnel. The only problems we experience with regards to accreditation is that some of our buildings do not adhere to all the requests. But all our procedures, all our personnel, the equipment, etc., it all adheres to whatever international standard is required. And I quoted them there, the 17025 for testing of laboratories, 17020 for accreditation standards, for quality management. We spent a lot of time with regards to quality management to make sure we adhere. And also ISO 14001, and we adhere to all the environmental issues as well. Insufficient equipment and technology, yes. When we started in 2006, we had some pieces of equipment, microscopes, etc., in excess of 15 years age. Not possible to repair them anymore whatsoever. So we have started with a technology updating process with new equipment. And I've received so far 185 million rand for new equipment, which we procured. And as was indicated yesterday, for this year, then also another 50 million, and it will run through over the next 2 years. We have also received money from Treasury with regard to the criminal justice review process to increase the budget, and we will continue with this process, which is extra, to make sure that we get the latest technology and equipment available in the forensic science environment. With regard to production, Madam Chair, we have established a management information center to make sure that we know what is going on and where it is going on. In the beginning, we experienced quite some problems with regard to statistics and the number of cases addressed, etc. We have changed the priority of analysis with regards to the cases, and we have established nodal points to address inquiries. So if there is a court case coming up, we have had some meetings with the prosecutors. They are all in possession of this nodal point to make sure they can inform us with the detector so that we can make sure that that exhibit is ready for court case when it comes up on a specific date. And so far, it is working quite well. We adhere to the court dates. And we don't only analyze as we get the exhibit, even if there's no suspect whatsoever. So when there is a suspect, we adhere to the court dates and see if we can address the problem due to that. We have also started with a process of reviewing the production time, the production through the use of time studies. What we mean by that, Madam Chair, is if, for example, I bought a new piece of equipment, and let's say an alcohol analyzer. The old analyzer can do 30 cases for me, or 30 exhibits, or samples. It can do 30 samples for me in 3 hours. The new one I buy, it can do for me 90 samples in 3 hours. Then we have worked on processes to say we want that machine run full capacity all day long, and we work it according to that. We have also established standard times. And we have already finished with one section, the question document unit, and we are moving to the chemistry unit now, where we have worked out standard times for analysis for the different kinds of exhibits, so that we know everybody is working full out according to a standard time in that regard. Coming to the next point there, command and control. One of the big problems experienced was acting commanders, and in the forensic science environment, we had 22 incumbents acting for longer than 18 months in 2006. Of course, the responsibility and accountability was not there, and at this stage we can say we have only one incumbent in the forensic science laboratory acting. So we have solved that problem over the last few years. Inadequate accommodation and storage space, this is still a challenge for us, Madam Chair. With regards to Cape Town, the forensic science laboratory in Cape Town, they are building a new building, a new laboratory in Cape Town. It will be the latest state-of-the-art technology into that building. The date was supposed to be June next year, where we can occupy it. But the latest I heard is that it will only be now September next year due to bad weather experience in the Cape area. Up until then, we will experience problems from the existing forensic laboratory in Cape Town because it's got no space in that building anymore. I cannot add any person or any piece of equipment whatsoever in that regard. And we also have storage problems with regard to that. So once, we can't wait for that new laboratory to come into operation. With regard to the Eastern Cape, that laboratory, we decentralized first phase DNA to the Eastern Cape in last year. The evidence extraction, we were quite lucky to get another floor where the laboratory is, and that exercise costed us in the region of 4 million, Madam Chair, to decentralize only the first phase of DNA extraction there. With regard to KwaZulu-Natal, the existing laboratory there, the same position as in with the Western Cape, no space at all. I cannot add anything. We were fortunate 3 months ago, a new lease, and we have split them up now. There's a new building, and now the situation has improved. Also, with regards to KwaZulu-Natal, and the space was identified to build a new laboratory. It was approved, and from KZN side or supply chain management side, they are busy with the rezoning of that site to make sure that we adhere to all the local requirements so that we can build that laboratory there. Also, what has happened in the meantime with regard to the criminal record centers, I've said that there's 91 local criminal record centers. We have upgraded 67 fingerprint laboratories where we can now do chemical analysis as well at these laboratories with fingerprints. The reason for that is, Madam Chair, is a change in technology and techniques. Previously, we only worked with, we can say, scalpels in the fingerprint environment, but due to the improved results you get with chemicals, there is a huge swing towards chemicals in the analysis of fingerprints from specific types of evidence. A detailed needs analysis for criminal record center and forensic science was submitted to supply chain management to address this, and it is ongoing. Another problem or challenge we experience, inadequate information systems and networks. We have a LIMS system there, a laboratory information management system. It's still under investigation. We still need to change the system. We still need to upgrade it, and it is in process, that one. We had an integrated ballistic identification system. That system, I changed, Madam Chair, to work the same as the AFIS. It was done earlier this year. It's now upgraded. The change was to make it a national system because it was provincial-based, that system, and it was not possible to analyze an analysis and link it if there's a shooting incident in Pretoria or Johannesburg, to link that piece of exhibit with an exhibit from Cape Town. So we have integrated and upgraded it now to three-dimensional analysis, and that system is now up and running. It took us some time. The retraining of the people took us some time, but fortunately it's working now and it's upgraded. The AIPA system, I've already mentioned, is going to be upgraded so that we can have increased capacity. We do anything in the region of more than 7,000 searches a day on the system. So it's quite a high volume, and you need to upgrade that system as well. With regard to the DNA, we have a DNA database. It does not really satisfy the need, so it's under new development. We have increased the capacity to load more on it, but the functionality, as was mentioned by Commissioner Lala, we need to link it and have the same functionality as with an AFIS system, as with an IBIS system, where we can link different cases. They have just started with that functionality, but we still need to work that and see that we develop a large DNA database. Then we can make more links with that system as well. Exhibit management system, implemented 5 million for it, and we will continue with that program as well. From information system management, we are in continuous consultation with them, as this environment is very dependent on systems and the support from this component then. With regard to inadequate support capacity, with that I mean, Madam Chair, what we found is we found many specialists, people trained to do specific work, doing administrative work because there was not enough administrative personnel. And since 2008, a total of 1,094 support posts will be filled, all of them, by 1 October to support the experts and the analysts so that we can take away the administrative work from them and get them to concentrate on the activities they are there for, Madam Chair. Over the last 2-3 years, Madam Chair, we have tried to lay a sound foundation on which we can build for the years to come, and I'm quite positive, I think, we have laid a foundation there. For the next few years, the biggest challenges for us is the improvement of the targets. We still need to work on the targets there, see what we can do to improve. The standards assisted us, the work studies will assist us in that. Of course, the review of the criminal justice system will address many, many of the issues, and already by October, we will have a complete review of our crime scene management standard operating procedures available, and from that one, there will certain processes flow. All our forensic service protocols will be ready by October 2009, where everybody will know exactly what that is, and we can some initiatives will flow from that. We are busy with the development of implementation plan for the criminal justice review for the next 5 years, and that plan, Madam Chair, addresses in detail now all the human resources, training, equipment, vehicles, the operational needs, because chemicals are extremely expensive when we talk about DNA kits and these things, very, very expensive, and we are planning to address all that in this plan. And this plan from Criminal Justice Review will also be ready by October this year. We will have it ready, and then it can be finalized by top management. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, will get the last leg from the Hawks.
Commissioner, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, the directorate is fairly new. It's exactly a month today since we've been launched. So you'll excuse if the input is very brief. I'm pleased to announce that for the months that we're in existence, that we have had some successes. I'll just briefly give an indication of that. On corruption, we've had 13 arrests. On abalone, we've had 23. On drugs, we've had 19. On hijacking and crime cash in transit, we've had 11. On armed robbery, including house robbery and business robberies, we've had 25. On the murder of a police official, we've made one arrest. On extortion, we've had one. On fraud, we've had two. On possession of unlicensed firearms, we've had two. And then we've also had an arrest on possession of uncut diamonds, possession of unpolished diamonds, one. Gold-bearing materials, we've had 8 in 4 cases, and in ivory, one. That is just for the month that we've been in existence, Madam Chair. The investigation of priority crimes, the mandate, of course, is priority crimes, the organized priority crimes, the international-related or provincial boundaries, as well as the economic crimes. On priority crimes, there is the insertion of the Scheduling Act, number 68, of 1995. And in terms of that act, it stipulated the offenses, high treason, protection of constitutional democracy against terrorist and related activities, non-purpose restriction of weapons of mass destruction, regulation of the Foreign Military Assistance Act, National Conventions on Arms Control, on the organized crime, priority crime. We have the Prevention of the Organized Crime Act, Drug Trafficking Act, offense relating to the dealing in smuggling of ammunition, firearms, explosives, or armaments, Prevention of Combating of Corrupt Activities Act, any offense punishment where we may have life imprisonment. On the economic crime, and this should be read together with the commercial branch mandate, and the criteria of the Office of the Serious Economic Offences in application of investigations by DPCI. And it relates to the following listed areas and the relevant acts that go with them. to investigate the above mentioned crimes through a multidisciplinary approach, Madam Chair. The Directorate is not in a position to really reply on the Portfolio Committee's request regarding a 5-year review in that we've just been launched. And, it's just been launched, Madam Chair, so you'll bear with us. Maybe at the next occasion we'll be able to give a better review in terms of the work that was done. On the economic crime, the key goals would be to investigate crime, gather evidence, analyze evidence of priority, organized and economic crimes. The performance indicators would be the percentage of cases to court for priority crimes, the percentage of organized priority crime cases referred to court, the percentage of serious economic offenses charges taken to court. The target for indicators can at this stage not be determined. It would only be determined after the 2011-2012 financial year when data is available and we have the necessary baseline. That's in brief, Madam Chair. Perhaps I should just indicate as well that of our key focus areas, just to emphasize, is the organized crime and the proliferation of firearms, the drug and human trafficking, the vehicle theft syndicates, and the economic-related crimes. We also have provincial priority crimes, which would include the trio crimes, that would be our hijacking, our business robberies, our house robberies, as well as the cash in transit. We also need to be dealing with corruption within all spheres of government, as well as the organized crime threat as it relates to the ports of entry. And obviously we need to focus on the enforcement of the Prevention of Organized Crime Act. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. We are going to take hands from the members. Let me start with Honorable Tefa, Honorable Kola Barnard, Honorable Fair, Honorable Reverend Mishwe, Honorable William George, Honorable Angie, Honorable Craig, in that order. We can start.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just two questions on Mr. Lala's presentation. Can you give us a bit more detail about how far the e-docket process is? Because I understood that it was pretty well implemented by now. Is it not? And if not, how far does it still have to go? Secondly, the other issue is you seem to be dealing quite well with the detectives and so on, which is great, but the information I'm getting from police stations is that a lot of the time the conviction rate is not good, because of the initial statements that are taken at the police station and the quality of those statements being so bad. People aren't very often literate enough or not in the language that people come, the complainants are using. How are you dealing with that? Because that is apparently a huge problem in why the conviction rates are so low very often. And just on the Hawks, there's your key performance indicator. It concerns me that you don't have one regarding conviction rates. You've got a number of cases referred to court for priority crimes and case taken to court, but not a target for conviction. And surely that should also be included, given that that would often reflect on the quality of the investigation. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. Looking through, if we can start with detective services. I think it's quite a similar to concern as the one raised by my colleague. We see, for example, property-related crimes. They've got a prosecution rate of, very low, 15%, but the conviction rate subsequently is only 13%. Now, if one extrapolates that nationally, we're probably talking about thousands of cases that then fall through the cracks. So I also want to know, what is it? What is it? And of course, one is glad that the numbers of cases to court have increased, but why is the success rate low? Now,
we're probably talking winnable cases here, because our police, they've put their lives on the line, they've gone through all the right steps, they've gotten to court. So what is it? I mean, an average, your average figure of 30% overall in relation to conviction rate, look, it's low, but it's creeping up. But I would like to have known the conviction rates. You left them out there of against, for example, women and children crimes against, et cetera, those others. We didn't have them there. I'm going to presume they'll be in the annual general report, as we requested previously. You know, organized crime, less than half the cases you actually take to court are successful. Of the 4,873 arrests, only 1,214 convictions. What is happening? And it may, well, I can't believe that in these cases, organized crime, we're talking about an initial statement. So what is giving you the problem? Is it something that more money would help, more training, more what? We need to pinpoint that, because this is crucial. If we've got cases to court, there's just no way we can lose them. Moving on a bit, one of your strategic plan points is to capacitate the Family Violence, Child Protection and Sexual Offences units. Now, will you be reopening those units in each province? I believe there are only three provinces where the system had not yet shut them down, so I presume those will be left alone. Will they be reopened, and will you pull back those teams previously employed on those units? These are highly experienced, highly successful people in probably one of the most awful units. I mean, having to deal with raped children and babies and things on a regular basis is enough to tip most people over the edge. So it's highly, highly specialized. And I'm hoping that you will pull those people back into these units in each province. Again, the national implementation of the e-docket system, we've had that asked. Your wanted suspects list. I think it's a wonderful idea, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful idea, and I want to know if it's going to be made public. Put on your website. You know, the public is very keen to act as your eyes and ears and could do so in a heartbeat if you gave them the chance, so I'm very keen to know how that's going to work. Someone could just clarify for me. Yesterday we were told the number of stations was 1,116. In an earlier presentation, this presentation says 1,119. Either you're building really quickly, or I wonder, maybe did that include satellite stations in one of the figures? I wasn't sure. Someone could clarify that for me. Criminal Record Center. The time to generate a report of offenders pre the convictions. Now, that's been dropping over the years, and I'm a bit concerned about that. It is essential that police in other provinces know almost immediately if these people have prior convictions, and I don't know why it's dropping. If we're not keeping up with the numbers, then we need to boost capacity in that area. Could you explain that? In the forensic science laboratories, could we have some knowledge? I know you've given us the numbers of people employed there, but what is the shortage of capacity still being experienced? And also I want to know why such enormous amounts are spent on skills development. Surely you only hire qualified personnel. Why do they have to be brought up to speed? I'm missing that completely. And I also want to know, you haven't really addressed what the minister said was still an issue about the backlog. Now, March this year, the minister said the backlog countrywide was 11,758 samples. Now, that was nationwide. However, my information that in the Western Cape alone, it was about an 18,000 sample backlog. So if you have a backlog, and I understand that your turnaround time is now speeding up and looks very efficient, but what are you doing to address the backlog? Because there are people still waiting years and years and years down the line, waiting on the forensic science laboratories. And while everything you say and the movement and the energy being pumped into the laboratory seems extremely commendable, I just want to know what you're doing, how long is it going to take to wipe out this backlog so that the turnaround time is actually a real-time turnaround, and that others aren't being penalized by waiting for more important cases as determined by SAPS members, I presume, will be dealt with. Looking at the DPCI, the arrests that you've detailed here, I'm a bit concerned about them. Were these arrests, for example, possession of an unlicensed firearm or one police person murdered? Now, I'm not clear as to the cases that you listed. could be seen to be to fall within your mandate. Armed robbery, they seem to fall within the mandate of standard SAPS members or other, not yourselves as mandated to priority organized and economic crime. So I just wanted to know, were these arrested as a result of perhaps ongoing criminal investigations by units that existed before the establishment of the DPCI or, just detail for me how these cases that you've detailed would fall within the mandate of extremely serious and organized crime. I think that's about it for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Willem Fogler from the NCOP, Northern Cape. I would just like to know from our speakers here, we previously send these specialized investigation units, investigators, I know to Scotland Yard. Some of these guys were sent for specific training overseas. Do we still do that to actually empower our people with specific training, specifically on our specialized units like the ops that we've got now? As well as Interpol. I didn't get anything on Interpol this morning on the investigation units. Are they collaborating with the overseas Interpol units? And then, as my colleague also spoke about, was the language barrier, for instance, in the Northern Cape, where most people are Afrikaans-speaking, where we've got investigators that speak Xhosa and English, and actually broken English, they don't actually get to understand by the communities. And I believe that is a very big problem, specifically horses for courses, sending the right people to the right areas. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I heard Commissioner Lala correctly, he said 13,000 new detectives are still to be trained. For you to be able to do the job effectively, how many detectives do you need who are trained so that crime can be reduced? And on e-docket system, obviously for the police to be able to handle this efficiently, there needs to be computer literacy, and including investigators who also have to use it. Now, I want to know, on average, what is the computer literacy among the police? Are you not going to have an e-docket system that is just going to lie there and it's not used because you don't have people that are qualified or that are trained to use computers? And on the forensic science laboratory, we hear that there is a storage problem. Now, is that storage problem caused by the number of exhibits that you have, or what is the cause? Now, if it is because of the many exhibits you have, my question is, when are these exhibits destroyed? After what period of time? And when they're destroyed, is it the public thing or are they done privately? And obviously, I would be interested to know why, if that's destroyed privately, that is the case, because particularly when it comes to drugs, there has been allegations that police steal drugs that are stored. Now, people obviously want to know what happens to these drugs that are confiscated. We are hearing that drugs are being confiscated. They go to the forensic science laboratory. But where do they end? Are they destroyed? And if yes, when? And is that public or is it private? And lastly, about the new equipment that you are planning to get. Do you have sufficiently trained staff to operate the equipment? Because in the past we were told that there is equipment lying in the laboratory that is not utilized because there are not qualified people who are able to use it. Thank you.
Madam Chair, ladies and gentlemen, you know, Commissioner Lal, I think we must recruit you to be a politician. The way you talk, you know, when you're talking about poor performance at the lower level, you just say capacity of investigation. I don't understand what that means. You see, everybody knows that there has been a problem of capacity in the detective service. But you know, telling us as to what are the causes of this capacity and what are you doing? You can't just capacity of investigation and throw it and leave it. We need, if you look at the statistics you gave at page 62, I mean, they are not impressive at all. You see, and now you tell us capacity, and I mean, in this police service, the issue of training of detectives has been a topic almost all the years. So what are you doing about it, you see? Is the problem with training, really, or the problem of values? Because, you know, you also made a statement which worried me again, is that the perception of corruption in the police service. Let me tell you, Commissioner Lala, corruption in the police service is not a perception. It's a fact. It's real, it's there. It's not a perception. So let's not talk as if we're talking about perception. The real India in the Western Cape. The police tried to change what should have been the evidence in a case. So it's not senior police, like a station commissioner, tried to influence junior police to change evidence in a case of drunken driving. So we're not talking perceptions; we're talking facts. There is corruption. Because my problem, once you are in this denialist mood, that no corruption in the police service is only a perception, you're not going to address the corruption in the police service. So I'm just worried, you see. I'm also organized crime. I don't understand your figures. Probably you'll explain to me. You arrest, I'm just making an example, 5,194 convictions. What does that mean? Does it mean all these others were found not guilty and discharged? Or what is it? You see, because if you arrest 5,000 people and only convict, I now understand why such a lot of money is paid for lawsuits. You see, because you know, I understand where we come from. In the past, there was no investigation. So just suspect the pounce, you beat him up to get the truth. That's no longer there. A good investigator must first investigate the case and make sure that there is enough evidence to arrest the person. You don't just pounce on the person because you depend that you're going to torture that person to get information. That is gone. So if you can explain to me in all of them, 4,000 only convictions. Has it been all those people discharged, or some of them are still on trial? What does that mean? Because the difference to me is too big. A decision was taken by the senior management to address the shortage of detectives in 2000. What does that mean? Because we were saying that does it mean that, are you saying therefore that there is money available for these posts? Have they been funded, and therefore you are going to employ these people? Yeah, I also think I'm not a policeman, but I must advise you on your promotion policy on detectives. It's killing your service. It's what is happening in education. A good teacher, because he's a good teacher, is promoted into inspector. Then he must leave teaching and go and do some work which is not even an expert management. What you should be looking at, Commissioner Lala, reward these detectives who at the basis where they are. Promote them. You see, once you set a limit, you can only do investigation when you are up to a captain. Once you are a captain, you go out. Then you're going to have the problem. Whereas Lieutenant General, if you reward them, let them stay there to do detective work, but with higher ranks. But every time they go up, because they also going to apply. Nobody does not want a promotion, because especially in a situation where promotions are linked to salary. You see, so it is natural that You're going to have this exodus of senior people who have got experience, who do more work, but leaving the state because of promotion. So I think, you, because you're always going to have that situation if you don't address this thing. Of course, I've addressed the issue of corruption, which you say is a perception. The insufficient equipment in the forensic science laboratory and technology. You said you were given 185 million, but you're not telling us how much did you want. Because it will help us. Just to say I was given 185 million means nothing. Assuming, because we have not given that information that you were given, you wanted 3 billion. And they are only given 185 million, then it means there's a problem. But if you have told us this is the amount we need to make sure that there is sufficient equipment and technology, because unfortunately this is an area that depends. It depends mainly to a large extent on equipment and technology. So if you've got insufficient equipment and technology, how do you expect you to succeed? And well, of course, there are a lot of, you have listed them, inadequate. But all these accommodations, they are very primary in this thing. So I hope you tell us if what is the situation in this thing. Is it working? Because also the part of the problem, you hear in the country, the case can't move on. There was one I received this, the case at last, going to court because the DNA test have arrived at last. So I'm saying you better tell us, is this forensic science laboratory, what is it made of? Is it on the verge of collapsing, or is it collapsing? Or are you doing something about it? The last thing to my dear Anwar. You gave us a list of cases. Firstly, I was also not sure whether these cases are in your competence or what. But if they are in your competence, do us one favor. Put them in writing, give it to us, so that after 6 months you can tell us. Because to us, it's not arrest that matter. It's the conviction. So thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question to Commissioner Lala is, do we still have the witness protection program? If we still do, how effective is it? Seeing that we still have a lot of witnesses dying with very, very important information. My other protection part is on the protection of the very investigators who investigate this very, very serious cases, who end up maybe also dying before they finish their cases. I know of a case in Harankua where one of the best detectives who received several awards for the same work he was doing, who went missing just missing from the 2nd of July. Up to now, he's just missing. And why I'm saying that is we'll eventually get to a situation where we lose the very important investigator. Thank you.
No, Chair, I've been covered in many of the questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I want to say conviction is part of the success. Chairperson, I just want to ask to Commissioner Lala, about the detectives. You'll find that there is the detective in the certain station. Is the detective in this year? But when you go there next year, it's no more a detective. He's wearing uniform, he's working in the CSC maybe. So I just want to know that it's part of the demotion or promotion or what happened. Because you'll find that he's still the constable, but it was the constable when he was detective, but he's still the constable when he was wearing uniform and working in the CSC. And then another thing, what I would like to ask, you'll find some detectives. The case is end in their hands. They are like prosecuting you while you make a charge. They came and ask many information and tell you that no, this case is no more a case, and then we put it aside. So the case is ended there. I just want to feel that there must be a mechanism of checking the detectives that they are doing a correct work at the correct time. This issue of acting, we trust. You will find out that the commissioner is acting for 18 years, for 18 months. No, it's uncalled for. I think because we have a new and a good commissioner, I think he will solve this problem, because I know many commissioners are acting commissioner whosoever. But now we are very happy because Commissioner Pele is here. He will try to solve this problem of acting, and then I think it will be good. I thank you.
Thank you. Those are the questions. I just want to say something with regards to the target. And I think I understand that you are basing them on the baseline information, which means if previous year the baseline information, for instance, was 30, and this year it is 29, therefore you base it on 29. But at the same time, or 30 or whatever, but at the same time, there are so many corrective measures that are put in place that seem not to be influencing your target, only the baseline information. We're talking about the reveal of the criminal justice system, we're talking about government priorities, we're talking about the department's intervention. We're talking about the presentations that you are making here before us to say we'll be increasing this, we'll be training people, we'll be doing that. But the targets are just informed by one sector, and one sector, the previous baseline information. I mean, really, why must we believe that your measures you are taking will impact on the outcome if your targets are just informed by one set previous baseline, and we are hoping that, you know, whatever that you're doing today must aim to improve your output? I fail to understand. Maybe I'm asking this question because I'm not able to follow exactly. We're talking about crime against women and children as our priority, but the target is informed by your baseline. The state of the nation talks to the issue. Your everything is talking to the issue. The budget is talking to the issue. But your baseline, I can't understand it. And the, on page 74, it says a total of 1,094 posts were advertised since 2008 and will be filled by October 2009. 2008, 2009. I just want to know why such a length of time. If they were advertised in 2008, why will you only be able to fill them in October 2009? Is it normal that you take such a long time to fill a post? What are the issues there? Yeah, I think other questions have been covered. We can take responses from the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll try also to look at generics. And then the individual commissioners will deal with specifics. Chairperson, the arrest and vis-a-vis the conviction, that question could be better answered by the cluster rather than the individual department in the cluster. It's like asking the goalkeeper why he's not scoring. Instead of bringing the whole team and find out from the team why he's not scoring. One glaring issue is your prosecution, where prosecutors are students of the SCs representing the criminals. The prosecutor is a student, was lectured by the very senior counsel, and the senior counsel is on the other side. And the prosecutor, before he begins to speak, he looks at the lecturer. He understands what the lecturer taught him or her, and he freezes. We'll have to work on that. Who prosecutes is important. Rather than getting students and people that have come from school to come and prosecute, because they freeze in front of the senior counsels that are representing the criminals. Let's look at that area, so that we look at the whole chain. Sometimes it goes in a way that somewhere in the middle of the way it loses the momentum. I was amazed to find that they are waiting trials for 7 years. For 7 years, have appeared 30 times. Postponement. One area may be mirroring your question, Madam Manager. Of the protection of witnesses, it's not the police duty, the justice duty. So that's why I'm saying that you'll have to put the whole plaster at a certain given point. And it's a gray area. I don't know why justice will protect witnesses that are so much solely needed by the police. Because I'm not saying it must be shifted. Maybe we'll discuss that at a later stage in the cluster. I know that protected witnesses are not taken care of that they're supposed to be receiving. And as such, police sometimes have a problem with that. But other problems that police have, they prepare the cases and they argue the bail issue, Madam Chair. And the bails are granted that come back to haunt the preparation of the case. They come back to haunt that preparation, Madam Chair. That's why I'm saying the cluster at a certain given point will have to be taken and put here and we answer as a cluster. I have made this example. I want to repeat it. Police are hunting a man for 11 months. They get him with an AK with 5 rounds of ammunition, illegal firearm, pistol with 35 rounds of ammunition, all illegal, and is given the free bail. Free, not paid, free paid. And the police begin to link this guy on other things, but they can't find him. I think to any magistrate, if police come to you and say, we have hunted this guy for 11 months, should dawn in the magistrate that it's difficult to find this guy.
must be very clear that we have been chasing him for 11 months. We found him. You gave him free pay. I don't know why you give the person yet an AK for free pay anyway. So that guy, up to this point, police haven't found him. But people that is linked to them are dead and buried. And they are not going to crack that case. The question is, what are these police doing? Poor police, they have found the guy, sent him to the magistrate. It's a Friday afternoon, as one magistrate did in Northern Cape, to say they should have brought you in the morning. Now it's afternoon, I'm going home, you go home too. In the cases of murder. So, Madam Chair, I'm glad that the clusters are taking these matters, because, to be honest, police, I'm not defending them, because I'm one. Police are on the receiving end, sometimes unfairly. When the goalkeeper is very good, but the strikers are not scoring, and the team keeps not winning, and you begin to blame the host, maybe the goalkeeper, because they were beating 1-0, where they could have won 3-1. So that's an issue that our request that one day we look at. So that vis-a-vis high rate of arrest and no conviction. But that does not necessarily mean that police don't have their problem. There are poor quality of statement, Madam Chair. No doubt about that. We have spoken about it with this management already. We have said, Madam Chair, we will go for this training. Quality, I've spoken about it. One of the things we are looking at is that paralegals must take statements at stations, rather than an ordinary police that was trained to be police at college and comes back. But this organization, where statements are taken, must get paralegals and even legally trained people that maybe don't have work. That's the quality we're thinking. Begin to recruit those people to the organization. And we go to the station to give the statement, a legally trained person who understands very well that this statement doesn't end where I begin it. It ends up there. So that's one thing already we have spoken about in the management, to take it forward. We hope it will correct that situation. Madam Chair, members, they talk about promotion. I agree with Honourable Member George. It has been a problem, and it's going to be a problem for a long time. Because it's not the problem of this organization. It's a problem of the whole government structure, including the PSA, the retention strategy. What are we doing about, I'm asking politicians, what are we doing about the retention strategy? What is saying, this organization can't just do it. I would love it to see. I went to one police station, Madam Chair, I was talking to management. I found a station commissioner. She's 17 years experience of investigation. And she's got a degree in forensic. She's a station commissioner. I asked why I'm here. I was an MEC by the time, because I could not get better money without promotion. For me, I agree with Honourable Member, keep her as an investigation and pump up the package. No doubt about it. But do we have a leverage of doing, can we? Or the Auditor General would behave on us? Or unless somebody allow us to create our own retention strategy. And we'll do it. We'll demote all these guys you see here. We'll demote them. We'll take them back to the station and keep their package up and allow them to run on the road. But we can't, because this promotion is linked to the better package. And they're not going to deny people going up in that one. So it's not just the problem. Even in education is the same problem. Even in health is the same problem. Best doctors are making superintendents. And what do they do after that? So there's one area that we'll have to look. Retention strategy must... The commissioner yesterday was talking about the numbers we have lost in laboratories. We train them, some of them, and we lose them. Because private sector says you are earning 1,000 rand, and we'll give you 4,000, nobody hesitates. 3 times higher. something that we need to be heard. And indeed, we leave them on the field, we leave them running, but their package equals the task they put in. That's not happening at the present moment. So that would be I hear the question of language. It's a difficult constitutional language, constitutional question, because everybody speaks the language that is allowed by the constitution to speak. I'm not going to say I'm not going to take it because you are only speaking English, but I agree that we need to put mechanism that people link better. But it can't be, I'm sure, we'll be eating for a breakfast in any constitutional court to say we didn't employ you because you spoke only one South African language. We'll be part of the eggs and bacon in anybody's plate for breakfast on that one legally. Jefferson, I have answered this question of protection. I agree with another member, George, again, on corruption. But the commissioner said there's corruption and perception of corruption. I'll stick by that statement. It's correct, the statement. You know, when people speak about police, you can vow that it's just a sea of corruption. It's not true. It's not true. Take me to any prison and show me one prison that is not overflowing. Show me one prison in South Africa that is not overflowing. And I can bet you, Madam Chair, not a single one of those people who are there who marched in the morning to prison and say, "Here I am, please arrest me." They were all sent there by this police. Not a single one who woke up in the morning and marched there and asked them, "Where are you going?" "No, we're asking to be arrested." Not a single one. They all get arrested, Madam Chair. By these members, who among themselves got corrupt members, but few. Yesterday you were given, Madam Chair, the South African police members that are in prison arrested. They are not arrested by the group of reverends or by the group of soccer players. They are arrested by these police. Their own colleagues. So you can't simply say it's not a perception that there is this overall corruption, which is not true. There are many, many good women and men in blue that are doing their job correctly. So, and I want to make a request. I want to make a request from all of us. Lambast and hit hard on those that are corrupt, but have a hand of petting for those that are good. Pat on them and say, "Good job." Allow them to progress. Allow them, but those that are corrupt, hit them and hit them hard. So I stand by this statement that there are corrupt police, as Lala said, and then there is a perception beyond the actuality of corruption in the police. Because when we meet people, they simply say, "Hey, I'm a police, I'm corrupt." And they don't put "some police are corrupt." I think that's the language that is correct. Indeed, some are corrupt, but some absolutely gorgeous. So, the capacity issue is what we have admitted from the very get-go. Madam Chair, we will have to go for quality. We have. But I want to be held responsible after our strategy planning on that one. We'll come with it and we said, what do we do to this quality? Indeed, the figure is supposed to be 200,000. There is even the suspicion that this 183,000 might be enough in terms of quantity. But because it's an instruction, it's a figure that is given by the president and becomes part of our priorities, we'll do it. But we do want to concentrate on quality, which answers your question of statement, which answers the question of analysis vis-à-vis baselines and targets. It's true, I agree with you. You can't improve, the team that was getting 3 years back, which used to score one goal, and to go out to buy Ronaldo, Villa, Kaka, Ronaldinho, Messi, and to say that team is still going to score one goal. It's wrong. So you have no business to buy all these players. As you buy those players, you change your baseline. You base on what you have. So allow us to go and say, this is the training we will do. And indeed, this will happen. But also allow us to work on the changing environment in terms of capacity, in terms of cluster. Because there's no use, again, pumping up the police and leaving other elements of the justice cluster system as is. And that's not for the police to say, but it's for the parliamentarians to say, all of you pump up yourself, and I can assure we will improve. But where we are and where we are placed as this organization, we will pump ourselves up. The last response on this one. Somebody raised the issue of the equipment that is not used because the suspicion that there is no training. I would agree. It's not only in the police that sometimes we buy good machines long before we can study how to. There are departments, I know I'm not going to mention them, that there are machines that are collecting dust. are collecting dust because the canals. Maybe one thing we have to look, the upping up of technology must be upped with training. We must move fast in doing that. That both those things, because technology does help in fighting crime big time, no doubt about it. Does help. So technologically, we will be pumping ourselves up, and we will be working hard to make sure that we win through those things. I think I was trying on the off generic kind of questions, and the members will have to tell us why they don't move on things that we have spoken about. Thanks. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps if I could respond first to the question of the arrests as given. These arrests, in first of all, the organized crime and commercial crime units as they existed before, together with their mandates, is moving into the DPCI, and therefore the work that has been conducted. They've been reporting to the DPCI since the 6th of July. The arrest, the issue of corruption, I think, falls squarely within the mandate of the DPCI. The issue of the arrest on abalone, if one can understand the abalone and the illegal harvesting and transporting of the abalone in relation to how it moves across our borders, as well as the exchange for narcotics, one would understand that it also would fall within the mandate of the DPCI, such a risk. The issue of drug, the quantities is of such a nature that it would also justify investigation by the DPCI. Narcotics is one of the serious threats and a priority threat that needs to be investigated by units such as the DPCI. The issue of the hijackings and the cash in transit, this is what we would refer to fall under the violent organized crime section, and therefore also would need specialized investigation in combat of this. The issue of armed robbery as it relates to the trio crimes, that is also got a organized element to it, and therefore also needs specialized investigation. The issue of the murder of police officials in all of our provinces, our provincial commissioners have decided that these are to be investigated by organized crime units. In terms of the fraud, it's the investigations that relates to commercial crimes branch. On the issue of the possession of diamonds, I think one must understand it in the light of the individual that is arrested. It's an individual that could be forming part of a syndicate and therefore needs to be investigated by a specialized unit. I must also indicate that we are in the process and we have spoken to our crime intelligence units to begin to develop a proper crime threat assessment. We've outlined certain terrains that falls within our mandate, and I think as we go along, we'll be able to align our investigations based on the crime threat assessments, which would include the individual and groups that needs to be investigated. We're looking at addressing the generators of our crimes. And it also would maybe, the Commissioner has spoken about the conviction rate, but I think we'd like to look in terms of what is it that's going to make impact. And if we go through the scientific process of a threat assessment, identifying the generators and begin to address those generators, I think we'll be more successful. In terms of the training and the specialized units abroad, I think we've had the joint operational management team that assisted in the establishment of the DPCI. They did undertake a tour to a few countries, Canada, Holland, where they went to go and see in terms of what is available that could influence us in terms of that we'd be able to put together something that will be work and be effective. And we have thus far signed an agreement with the Dutch Police and National Crime Squad, exactly for these reasons, to see how we can learn from each other. I may also just add that in our discussions with them, it would appear that there's many things that they can also learn from us. But it's obviously something we'll continue. With regards to the Interpol, yeah, Interpol is located within our Crime Intelligence Division, and obviously there would be a close working relationship with DPCI. We are engaged with a number of countries in terms of agreements that we have with other countries. Also just that we have in terms of the nature of the crime, and especially the transnational crimes, there are Interpol offices and there is daily work in terms of cooperation with other countries and investigations that we assist with abroad. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Some of the questions have been some of the questions have been covered by the National Commissioner. I will try and answer more of the technical nature of some of the specific questions. In regards to the e-docketing system, there were two questions posed about those issues. One was the issue of why isn't it in place? We thought it was running. And the other issue was the ability to deal with the capacity in managing it so that we don't have a white elephant in place. In regards to the e-docket system, yes, there have been hiccups, there have been delays, there have been problems more in trying to roll out the system nationally to try and get it linked to CAS, to try and get it linked to various different systems. But there has been some degree of successes at the much more developed stations, and we are continuing to try and roll this thing out to be able to track what we would call dockets going missing and where they're going missing to. In regards to the actual aspect of the levels of people who have been trained in computer literacy, I would leave it to my colleague in the training division to be able to say how we're addressing that. The other question that came about is in regards to property-related crimes and conviction rates. I would also like to submit two documentations that we have had over the past year to assess the numbers of complaints withdrawn in court and the various categories of complaints as it's listed. The complaints withdrawn in court for the period 2008-2009 is 134,752. The complaints withdrawn by complainants before the court is 159,000. And I would like to submit this as a
as a breakdown to say some of the difficulties that we have, because there's a lot of work that goes into the topic, there's a lot of work that goes into the preparation of the case, and these are some of the challenges that we are experiencing and which we are engaging with the prosecution services to be able to try and find some speedy solution. I am confident there are a few ideas that are on the benchmark at the moment, which the National Commissioner at our strategic planning meeting will reprioritize to try and address those issues. In regards to the FCS, initially a few years ago we had about 1,200 members in the FCS. Our target is 2,252 in the short to medium term, and in the process we're trying to reach that capacity because of the number of cases reported. For example, the sexual offences for the period 2008-2009 in regards to rape, there were 4,480 cases withdrawn by the complainants in court. And for the same period, before court, there were 2,395 cases withdrawn. But it's broken down into the various different categories of crimes. That the difficulty that we have is that there's a lot of work that's going into it. There's a lot of process that's going into it. It's log-jamming the whole court process to deal with other cases and expedite other cases. I also want to apologize that there was a typing error in regards to 1119 and 1116. It is 1116. In regards to the number of detectives training, I think my colleague in the training division did explain the categories and the breakdown yesterday, but we have approximately 13,000 people who will be trained and retrained and develop the spirit to help us address the issue. I want to go to the last question because I think some of the questions have been covered by the National Commissioner and I don't want to repeat some of the issues. I think Madam Chair has raised a crucial issue in regards to it's good enough having targets. It's good enough not reaching the targets or using the targets as benchmark. What we're saying is that the system is log-jammed to try and improve some of those targets, the whole criminal justice system. But what we're also saying, Madam Chair, is that give us the space to be able to, at our strategic planning meeting, to deal with the issues of correctional measures because we don't have comebacks in dealing with labor unions. And each case, when we try and deal with it, tends to have a life of its own. So on one level, while an investigator is taking cases to court, we also have cases against him not complying to be able to do the matter. So you get caught sometimes in a catch-22 situation. We will engage with all the authorities to find a policy to deal strictly in regards to the correction of these purposes whereby nothing has been done in the docket. Thanks. Sorry, Chair.
Is that a decision was taken by senior management?
Yes.
To address the, what does that mean? I'm asking the question now. Okay. Focus. This financial ends, and are you saying the posts have been advertised, or are you saying we have appointed them? Because the time is coming to an end financially.
Yeah. No, call, what we are saying is that over the past few years, the figure, I think it's approximately 4,000 people, have been lost to other departments in the police services, to public order policing, to various different processes because of promotion and every other issue that's related to it. So what we are saying is that they are skilled people, they have the ability to investigate, they have the ability to finalize cases to court. Internally within the police services, we have said in order to retain and maintain those scarce skills, we are asking, and as the National Commissioner's directive in regard to this is that basically by saying that if you are an investigator, we must be able to keep you as an investigator to be able to finalize cases, and we mustn't lose that skill. So we're going to what we have done is basically ask for all those investigators that have been lost due to promotion processes to come back. And there's a directive that has been forwarded to the provinces to be able to ensure that at localized level that these detectives who have been lost to other departments go back to actually carrying the dockets. Thanks.
Advertising posts in 2008 and filling them by the 6th of October 2009.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Can I start at the beginning with all the questions, Chair? The first one was regard to time to generate the previous report, the reasons for that. It came down, the number or the percentage of reports generated. The reasons for that is, as I've indicated, the automated fingerprint system capacity. We cannot handle the daily workload. And we are, as I've indicated, it will be upgraded in this year. The network cannot handle the capacity, the throughput with regard to the sending and the receiving of the answer of fingerprints. And as was said yesterday, the network will also be upgraded. We, due to system problems and some system crashes, we lose plus minus an average 3 working days a month at this point in time due to system problems, which adds to our problem. So hopefully the upgrade can solve that problem for us. I can echo the same view that was mentioned by some of the other speakers and our national commissioner with regards to trained personnel. The people working on these systems, some of my civilian people, they are computer literate. And, of course, when posts are advertised on a higher level somewhere else, they will go there. And then I recruit new people and I train them from the word go on. So that is the reason for that one. The shortage of personnel in the division, how many vacancies we have, that was the question. In total for the whole of the division, we have 326 vacancies. 326 vacancies at this point in time. On level 1 to 7, I have no vacancies at all. No vacancies at all. All these vacancies level is on level 8 to 12, and it will be dealt with in the next promotion process, these vacancies. The next round of promotion process, which is in a month or two time, Chair. Coming to the number of samples that was mentioned by the Minister and the backlogs, before that, why do we spend so much money on skills development? Yes, here we recruit people with degrees, BSc degrees, but at the universities, they teach them the basic. Although they have a degree, we need to train them internally. We need to train them with regard to the equipment we use, and they have to pass certain internal courses and tests we give them. After some time, we declare them competent, and they work on specific operational mentorship. Just to mention some of the amounts we spent, a course for hair analysis to get DNA from hair is 250,000 rand per person. And I sent them abroad to the USA to be trained in hair analysis. So a ballistic course is costing us 300,000 rand. Scientific analysis, 175,000 rand. Explosive, 175,000 rand per person. So it's costing us a lot of money to train people. They don't come from the university with all this knowledge and stuff there. Coming to the number of samples mentioned. Yes, the Western Cape has 18,000, and it's mainly drug samples. We do sit with a challenge in that regard, Madam Chair. If I can mention it, let's take ballistics as an example. The new Firearm Act, 170,000 firearms were voluntarily handed in by people who have licenses for them. A decision was taken to test all these firearms on the IBIS system. So it must come to the laboratory to be tested. Of this 170,000 firearms, and the bulk of them in this year alone, more than 46,000 were handed in. The bulk of them, it was owners with legal, or it is owners with legal licenses. We are going to test it, but we are not going to close a lot of cases against these people. But we are going to do it because we say maybe we can get this one or two or three or four. We want to solve the cases. Now, if we receive now this 46,000 weapons, is that now a backlog? Is that now a backlog? So we receive them and we store them and we give priority to our criminal cases where we have shooting incidents and deal with that first. This is how we deal with it. The same with regard to the DNA, where I have a storage there. At this point in time in DNA, there is 26,000 samples at Davis waiting. After 26,000, there's only 2,000 where we have suspects. The rest are no suspects at all. No suspects at all. But we keep the samples there. If a person is arrested, we need that sample from that person to analyze and to match it then with that one from the criminal. So we keep it all there, and we refer to it as backlog. So we need to revisit maybe the terminology we use. With drugs, and that is the area where I think we have a problem, specifically in the Western Cape. The drug backlog in the rest of the country is no more at all. So what we do now, we send drugs from the Western Cape to the other laboratories to assist them with the problem here with regards to the drug problem. So yes, Madam Chair, we have this backlog. We are trying to deal with it, and we will sort it out. Criminals, if I can call it criminal cases, we have in total criminal cases, we can talk about, it is about this 16,000 to 18,000 in total there. Mainly drug cases in the Western Cape. And the other provinces, we assist them. We transport the cases there, and we assist them to finalize in the analysis of it. We have also changed the procedures, as I've mentioned, Chair, where previously they had the process in place that they analyze exhibits from the oldest day. I've changed that to say you analyze according to a court case. If a court case is coming up, you deal with that thing immediately. And that is why the communication between the prosecutor and the detective is so important for us to let us know. And we have specific communication procedures in place with the detective services, and Commissioner Moon and Commissioner Lala are assisting a lot with that to make sure we adhere to court days. So we really need that. With regards to the storage problems with the number of exhibits, in the Western Cape, our exhibit storage is full. We have in the Western Cape about 15,000 cases with drugs, with one tablet, what we call one tablet cases, where they arrest people for one tablet. And it is an ongoing project in the Western Cape, so the storage are full, so we did put up some temporary facilities to store these things, because we are not happy with drugs being stored anywhere else. The destroying of drugs, is it done privately? No, we do not allow drugs to be destroyed privately. How it works, when there is a decision that we destroy drugs from the Forensic Science Laboratory, we will take the court cases that is finalized, we will go to the stores, we take that exhibit. We have a list of the number of kilograms and the number of pills and everything we have destroyed. We put all those thousands of kilograms on a truck, we get the task force to accompany us, we go to a specific place, we blow them up with the explosive people there, and we make sure everything is burned and blown, whatever there is. So this is how we destroy the drug. It's not done privately at all. It is done, we control this whole process from the beginning until the end, and we are escorted by the task force when we go and do that. The new equipment, do we have trained staff? Yes, we have trained staff. Any piece of equipment I buy, part of the agreement is that the personnel will be trained by that company. It's part of the agreement now. Whenever we buy any piece, they will come and train the people, and they will declare that person competent to work on that machine. And then we will do our own internal training as from there. So we have solved that problem, I think. We'll try to address that problem there. Insufficient equipment. The question was, what do we need? I've already mentioned the millions already. We are going to receive, sir. So, with regard to the CJS, we have received the preliminary amounts for over the next 3 years. And for equipment, or in total, I can mention from the CJS, the environment is going to get 340 million rand, the Forensic Science and the Criminal Record Center. From that, we plan to use 91 million for equipment, and that is part of the detailed plans we are working on now, exactly where are we going to spend this money. In the next year, we are going to get 514 million rand, and for equipment, 120 million will be used. And the year after that, 658 million, and again, we are going to use 120 million rand. Personally, sir, I think we can go a long way with that. I do not want money I cannot use. And I want to fill up the laboratories and see if I can use this money to the best of the ability of SAPS. So, yes, I think that we can go a long way with this money we are going to receive there. Is it working? The DNA at the right place? The Forensic Science Laboratory and CRC is the last one in the process before we go to court. So, of course, whenever there's any problem and they want to ask for postponement, the people will say, no, we wait for a DNA report. And many of the requests we receive from the prosecutors that this court case is coming up, then we phone the detectives and tell them, bring the exhibits, because it's not even at the laboratory as yet. Yes, at some stages we do have a problem that the exhibit is there. But we, from Commissioner Munu, is running specific projects to make sure that all the exhibits come to the laboratory now on time. And I can mention and good improvement in that regard. So the exhibits, yes, I think we are getting it now. We can see the number of registrations that is on the increase there with regards to that. There are 1,094. Madam Chair, no, it is not one process. It was various processes. As we apply for permission, we have an agreement from personnel services that every 2 months we submit a list of our vacancies to them, and then we receive approval to advertise and perform. It is a continuous process we have with them. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I wonder if you could just clarify something for me. We received in the answer to a parliamentary question to the Minister the statement that the backlog of samples countrywide was 11,758. Now, but then I said, well, I had personally found out that in the Western Cape alone it stood at least 18,000, which you've now agreed with. You said, yes, 18,000 is a backlog in the Western Cape. And then you went on and there were 26,000 DNA exhibits waiting, etc., many, many more thousands. I don't understand how the minister can give the answer to a parliamentary question which runs totally contrary to the information you're giving us here. I mean, who feeds the minister the information? Surely your department does. I'm a bit confused here because he seems to have totally misled me by either being misled himself or somehow misinformed down this line.
No, the information will come from our department, yes. I think what has happened in that case, the word samples, the word entries, the word cases. If I can make a simple example of that. We had this serial rapist case in Morimole some time ago, and this person was sentenced early in this year, if I remember correctly, Commissioner Munu. For that serial rapist case, we have analyzed 543 reference samples and 237 exhibits and linking one suspect to 11 of the 13 cases. And that's one case. So it depends on what we refer to. The scientists, they refer to the number of entries, and I think the minister referred to the number of cases here, but the criminal cases we are talking about, not those cases which are lying there waiting for reference samples. But we will make sure in future that we clarify the definitions of these things so that there's no confusion at all. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. I think we have run out of time, and I think we can't take further questions, because if we do, it means we must take answers as well. If members still have questions they would want to ask, they are free to do so. We'll hand them over to the department so that the department can then respond in writing. Let me again thank the department for
the information they've shared with us, I think we have just a few minutes to finalize our yesterday's business so that when we attend, we adjourn one. They see outside already, but I think we better finalize the issue that was referred to today, yesterday. The issue regarding the executive director of the Independent Complaints Directorate. I think we're not going to take long on this one. Yesterday, the minister presented the name of Francois Bukeman for appointment to the Office of Executive Director to head the Independent Complaints Directorate. He did this in accordance with the Act, South African Police Service Act, number 68 of 1995, chapter 10, section 51.1. In section 51.2, expects the parliamentary committee within a period of 30 parliamentary working days of the nomination in terms of subsection 1 to confirm or reject such a nomination. And I think that is exactly where we are now. We ensured that members get the CVs for members that were interviewed, and we agreed that we finalize the issue today so that we can allow the minister to go ahead with the appointment if indeed we accept the nomination. Can we therefore move on to the Honorable Greg Newman, Honorable Lilith George? Okay.
Chief, I'm just a bit concerned. Do we actually have a quorum of our committee? I know there are a lot of NA members who aren't members of our committee here. I don't want to pass something that is actually, and we're not quorate. I'm quite concerned about that.
We do have a quorum.
No, thanks, Comrade Chairperson. I'm talking on behalf of the African National Congress. And it's correct that the Minister of Police did present this to us yesterday. As the ANC, we have deliberated, we've discussed, we've gone through the package that we were given, the CVs, etc. We are totally satisfied with the process followed in terms of adverts, the number of people that have applied. We've also looked at the shortlisting process, the questionnaire, etc. that was used, and we are fully confident that the correct methods have been used, and we're fully confident, in fact, in the team that was involved in the shortlisting and that has come up with the name. We've also gone through the CV of Mr. Francois Bukeman. We've looked at all the CVs, in fact, and one of the requirements that is required is the issue of legal experience, but in addition to that, we've also noted that Mr. Bukeman has financial experience as well. And an added advantage is that he happened to have been at one stage the chairperson of the Public Accounts Committee here in Parliament. So he fully understands as well the use of public funds. And as I say, we've gone through everything. We've looked at the CVs. He looked at the package. And as the ANC, we are of the opinion that we will fully support the recommendation for the appointment of Mr. Francois Bukeman as the Executive Director of the Independent Complaints Directorate. Thanks very much.
Well, Madam Chairperson, I will not say as the Congress will have looked at the appointment, but I have looked at the CVs and read the documents. And I don't think the issue is the qualification, because that's what we're going to discuss. Our biggest challenge with this appointment is the appointment of politicians for positions which are supposed, because you see, there is a problem. To us, it's not the problem of Mr. Franz Bukeman. It's a question of the principle which we are very concerned, because it's becoming a big problem, this appointment of politicians. We raise our concern, I hope they were, because even when the appointment of National Commissioner, our concern was not the individual as a person, whether he is competent or what. It was the question of the appointment of politicians. because I think that is a problem. So I, but as I say, he is already said, and I was hearing him arrogantly whispering behind me. We have no problem because the body majority I'm just stating our case that we have got a serious concern with the appointment of politicians for positions in government, because I think these positions, some of them are of a professional nature that we need professional people to deal with them instead of bringing politicians who are going to talk politics and defend and more carry political instead of doing the work for which they were appointed. Thank you.
Chatterton hasn't gone through the document on the TV. I've concluded that Mr. Jackman is the best qualified person for the job and the college.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend.
No. Okay. No, the appointment has been seconded, and we think that therefore, as the portfolio committee, in fact, as a parliamentary committee, because according to the Act, it must be parliamentary committees, which therefore will mean it will be the NCOP and the NA committees, and the NCOP is also here. I therefore think that we are in agreement with the minister, and because we have not rejected the nomination according to the Act, then the minister at his own time will then appoint the person. I want to thank all the members for making it possible that this appointment can go ahead. But also in closing, I want to thank all of us who have participated in this information sharing session. Commissioner, you will have our support, both as citizens of this country, but also as members of parliament, with all the initiatives and interventions that are, of course, within the legal framework. We will indeed hold you accountable for everything that you do as the department, as we also are expected to do that. We are looking forward to a fruitful working relationship. Ours is not about these presentations, but it's about that we kept them out there. Whilst they are equally important, that we have the understanding that they are beautiful, it is important, but what is important is what is happening at Elukwatini police station right now. For us, that is what is important. What is important in our city streets out there, that is what is important. The visibility of police, the ethical conduct of our members, the training, the quality, the quantity, as we have put it, all that comes for this committee. And we will be oversighting on those issues. I just want to remind members that next week on Tuesday, the 11th and 12th, we are going to have our strategic planning workshop. We will request members to indicate to Jeremy, because those who will need accommodation on the 5th, that is 10th, and then on the 11th, they must indicate so that we don't make booking and find that people will not need the accommodation, maybe because they are residing around a Western Cape. So we request members to do that. But further, we'll be requesting members, if possible, from airport when they arrive on the 10th, to probably consider booking shuttles to take them to the hotel. But if they're not able to do that, we're requesting them to indicate to Jeremy so that transport can be arranged. I will, from the International Airport, Cape Town, book my shuttle to take me straight to the hotel, then to Pelican Park, and then to hotel, so that we can save. We are all called upon to save, as it was called, as the president requested all of us to do so, and we try to save as a committee to save on that aspect. But those who cannot, take that education so that we can arrange transport for them. I hope we'll meet on that day. Thank you very much for attending. We thank members of the MCOP, and we thank everybody who is here. There is tea outside, and this work session is formally adjourned. Thank you.